The following presentation is controversial and may be offensive to some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Radio from the heart of America.
The Shad Olson Show. Shad Olson Show.
The Shad Olson Show starts now.
S-O-S.
America is back. Standing tall.
As of now, I am in control here in the White House.
Stupid people are ruining America. It's sad.
I hope it'll be all over television, radio, and the newspapers.
I would like to take all the credit for this, but I can't.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
The Shad Olson Show.
Shad Olson Show. Hey!
Shad Olson Show.
The Russian President Vladimir Putin is calling this a, quote, special military operation to protect Donbass. It is clearly bigger than that. Now, he made a surprise appearance on state television calling for the demilitarization of Ukraine, blaming the government in Kyiv for bloodshed, but said Russian forces are not planning an occupation.
Whoever tries to interfere with us, and even more so to create threats for our country, our people should know that Russia's response will be immediate and will lead you to such consequences that you have never experienced in your history.
Now, Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, he went on Facebook again to address the nation. He says he's imposing martial law but urged the country not to panic.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, in the run-up to what was very obviously going to be a military incursion by the nation of Russia into Ukraine, I've kept things that I know and cards close to the vest for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is personal security, waiting to see how this would unfold and develop, and when Vladimir Putin's action against not principally the nation of Ukraine, but against the outpost that's been literally built and installed and erected by the deep state in order to harass and harry and otherwise antagonize against the Russian Federation. You can't even discuss these topics openly and forthrightly and with the actual fact of what's happening without being accused of being a Russophile, without being accused of somebody who's sympathetic to either Vladimir Putin or Moscow. This is the reason, and we've been through this, this is the reason for Operation Crossfire Hurricane, to drive a wedge into diplomatic potentials between Russia and the United States in not just the short term during Donald Trump's era, but in the long term, to make sure that there is no ability for an alliance between a populist president in America and a nationalist president in the nation of Russia, in Vladimir Putin or anybody else, as they try to push back against the globalization and the push for one world autocratic government over every nation on the planet. The deep state is terrified of what a bipolarity in an alliance between Washington, D.C. and Moscow would mean for the prospects of their new world order, one world government. That's the reason for Operation Crossfire Hurricane, not just to entrap the Trump inner circle in these totally fabricated entrapment crimes in order to politically neutralize Trump and his cronies at the top of the Trump administration. When they failed to sufficiently rig the 2016 election for Hillary Clinton, they needed, and Hillary and all of her inner circle quickly set to work, including John Brennan, James Clapper. You know all the names, all the people who facilitated this criminal enterprise, the most egregious example of political high treason ever concocted in the United States. Full weaponization of the intelligence agency to spy on Donald Trump, the candidate, and to spy on the Trump administration, and beyond that, to implant the digital breadcrumbs and fingerprints necessary to try to make it seem as if Donald Trump was working at the behest of Moscow. We revisit all of that simply to talk about the current perspective and the narrative that's formed so that nobody can discuss what's really happening between Russia and Ukraine without being accused of being a Russophile and somebody sympathetic to Vladimir Putin, the horrible, awful dictator in the nation of Russia. I say that sarcastically. Especially on this good earth where Justin Trudeau is now setting new records in the previously free nation of Canada for despotism, dictatorial largesse, and the evil stupidity of his forebears, little Castro Jr. up there in Canada, turning that nation into a North American version of the Siberian Gulag. Anybody who wants to call Vladimir Putin a dictator better look at Canada and the United States before they start pointing fingers. But that's the reality of everything that's happening in this modality. So we wake up, and I'm long-winded as usual in describing and laying the framework and the breadcrumbs to get to the present moment. We get to this morning's events, Russia moving on Ukraine and doing very surgical strikes. You can tell both by the footage that is coming out, you can tell by what is being said, and even the response of the Ukrainians. These are surgical strikes against very specific locations and targets inside the nation of Ukraine. Now, having covered the COVID-19 bioweapon deployment to a greater extent and manner of detail and layer of nuance than any other independent journalist in the United States or elsewhere for that matter, and I don't say that as hyperbole. I was the outlet, this show, this broadcast, and my investigative journalism. We were the first people to tell you that this was a bioweapon, that COVID-19 was a bioweapon deployment at the behest of the National Institutes of Health, deliberately transferred from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Ralph Merrick's research, given to Wuhan to insulate with a layer of plausible deniability a deployment at future date for the objectives of economic control, economic transition, economic manipulation, and first and foremost, the rigging of the 2020 election with ballot drop boxes and no ID mail-in ballots with extended deadlines to make sure that they could execute the voter fraud necessary to overcome Donald Trump's otherwise landslide re-election in 2020. We have covered the COVID-19 bioweapon ad nauseum. The thing and the missing pieces of the puzzle that I have left out deliberately in that discussion are the fact that Russia knows that we are the developers of the COVID-19 bioweapon. He knows the operation inside and out that delivered that, the reasons for it. Russia has all of the intelligence necessary to tell them that it was the United States, it was our deep state that facilitated all of that in order to create the plausible deniability, blame China, and run this double and triple game against the communist Chinese, but more principally against the American people in deception, psychological warfare, and all the rest of it. There are things that you have not heard in the American media, although I'm going to use sources today purposefully and deliberately. I'm going to use mainstream sources to tell you about what's been happening behind the scenes and has been purposely insulated and kept under wraps in discussion about additional bioweapon laboratories, United States, NATO, CIA, National Institutes of Health, WHO, really all the same entity. And as we realize this, this is the inextricable intertwining of these organizations pushing for the same misbegotten satanic agenda, the 2030 agenda, the Great Reset agenda, the economic scuttling of the planet, and the manipulation politically to make sure that no populist is able to turn back this plot before it is fully installed. Russia and China over the past 2 years have been employing and entreating and begging is not too strong a word. They have been begging the United Nations to quantify and to clarify the bioweapon research capacity and the weapon inventory, bioweapon inventory of the United States and our allies. They have been flatly refused by the UN Security Council. They've been flatly refused by everybody who would have any sort of authority or power to enforce a sort of Hans Blix, North Korea, let our inspectors in type of program at these bioweapon laboratories. And by the way, the network of these BSL-4, BSL-3, BSL-5 laboratories in former Soviet satellite states, talking about places like Kazakhstan and Georgia and Ukraine, the network is vast, it is intricate, it is deliberately placed, and it is fully positioned and operational in order to inflict first strike capability against the Russian Federation by the deep state as they try to enforce IMF, International Monetary Fund, currency compliance on the nation of Russia. Show me a nation that is reviled and vilified by the world corporate media, and I will show you a nation that does not play ball with the International Monetary Fund or the petrodollar. That is the tale of history. The history of the 20th and 21st centuries, late 20th, early 21st century, should be anybody messing with the fiat currency is not long either for their seat on the throne of power or for the carnal world of human existence in larger relief. This, an article from Newsweek. I need my spectacles in order to read the headlines and the particulars. This posted on the 29th of April in the year 2020. So this just in the early goings in the American outbreak of COVID-19 would have been April 29th of 2020. Newsweek magazine: China and Russia unite to condemn hazardous American laboratories in former Soviet states. China has complained that U.S. laboratories in former Soviet states could pose a public health risk one day after a Russian official made the same allegation. The accusation came as Washington and Beijing continue public relations battle over the coronavirus pandemic, each blaming the other for global spread and the resulting social and economic turmoil. Article goes on to lay out the reality, all of this published fact, all of this confirmed data point, in fact, the existence of these WHO, BSL-4, biosafety hazard, top level, top threat level bug labs where this sort of research is going on, and right up against the Russian frontier in several bordering states, former Soviet satellite states, where these labs have been built, purchased and installed, and then stocked with all of the goodies that you can possibly imagine, including smallpox and Ebola, Zika, and a number of other viruses. There are allegations that the United States has been releasing this stuff in small bits. We think of the Zika outbreak. There were allegations several years ago that it was actually the United States and virological research that was to blame for the Zika outbreak. That was happening via mosquito populations in these satellite states and eventually in South America as well. There's so much to this and there's so many moving parts and details. We're going to try to spend time today fleshing out the real reason for Vladimir Putin's strike in the nation of Russia. But I'm going to summarize as we come to the end of the first segment right here. I am cheering openly and loudly for Vladimir Putin and Russia as they neutralize these NATO, WHO, CIA holdouts and bioweapons laboratories, bioweapons stockpiles, just a few minutes flight time from Moscow with the capability of delivering superbugs and superviruses into the Russian population. And the use of that threat and the use of that virological blackmail as a chess piece on the geopolitical stage. Zbigniew Brzezinski called it the grand chessboard. It certainly has been in our lifetime, late 20th, early 21st century, We are dealing and double dealing and triple dealing, and we are playing the nastiest game of both blackmail and money laundering. And think of all of the secrets of the Democrat deep state cabal and the Republicans, for that matter, inextricably intertwined as they are in these enrichment programs via the delivery of United States foreign aid and the use of that as carrot and stick to keep these puppet dictatorships in line as they have in the nation of Ukraine. We come back. I'm going to play a report. This is an actual television report aired on international television, an actual tour of a WHO, United States, National Institutes of Health, bioweapons laboratory in the previously Soviet satellite state of Georgia. This is what Vladimir Putin's after. He's after these installations, and he plans to neutralize them and take them out. He's doing more to reduce the virological potential for risk and harm to humanity than the idiots and the evil provocateurs and evil prevaricators in the deep state. He's doing more than they've done or even claimed to have done in the span of 4 hours. His Air Force has done far more to make the world safer virologically than Joe Biden and company have done in the span of 2 years. Of course, we know they don't want to keep anybody safe. They want to make everything as bad as they possibly can. Only question is, how far are they willing to go to keep their sins secret as Vladimir Putin uncovers the burial ground of their skeletons in the nation of Ukraine? Chad Olson Show, SOS Radio Network.
Help me to the Chad Olson Show. Chad Olson Show.
Repeat after me. One world government is coming. One world government is coming. One world government is coming. The nation state is obsolete. One world government will improve the lives of everyone on Earth. This concludes today's indoctrination lesson for the betterment of all mankind. The Chad Olson Show thanks you for your cooperation. Goodbye.
January of 2020, you wrote an article titled COVID-19, Born in North Carolina, Sold to Wuhan Lab, Optimized for Pandemic Spread. You wrote that in January of 2020.
Everything that we saw Donald Trump succeed at, they were desperate to derail, and they did it with COVID-19. I say it to my audience all the time, and I'm going to say it to yours. The virus is the election fraud. The virus is the election fraud.
Again, you wrote this article January 2020. You called it before anybody had imprinted it. You were banned. You were canceled. You were trashed. You were lied about. Google algorithm was changed because of Chad Olson. I mean, because Yes. You nailed it, brother, and everybody knew it.
This is the SOS Radio Network. SOS.